Alright, we're going to start here at the bottom, Mem Aleph Amud Bet. Rabbi Yossi says in the Mishnah that if a person's to'eh b'davar mitzvah, person's engaged in a mitzvah, the process of a mitzvah, and then that causes him, or through that process, he violates some other restriction, that he's patur. So in this case, he was involved with the mitzvah of lulav, and he forgot, and he carried out his lulav to reshut harabim. So in being engaged in the mitzvah of lulav, ends up doing something that was inappropriate on Shabbat, and he's patur according to Rabbi Yossi. So Amar Abai, lo shanu el shalo yatsa bo, ava yatsa bo chayav. That's only true if the lulav that he's using now or taking out now, he wasn't yotze the mitzvah of lulav yet. Because if he's already yotze the mitzvah of lulav, then he's not toeh b'dvar mitzvah because there's no mitzvah left. He's already accomplished the mitzvah. So it's only if he has yet to accomplish the mitzvah that we would say this. So now, ha, the Gemara asks the obvious question, ha medag vei. As soon as you pick it up, you're done with the mitzvah. So here he picks up the lulav, he's done with the mitzvah. How could you ever have a circumstance in which you're going into the reshut harabim and have not yet accomplished the mitzvah? As soon as you pick it up and you carry it, you're going to be yotzei the mitzvah. Here it sounds like that obviously mitzvot ein srichot kavanah, that you don't need kavanah to accomplish a mitzvah, because here the Gemara doesn't have any option for you to say, oh, he didn't have kavanah to yotzei the mitzvah. Despite the fact that Abaye challenges Rova in other places about this issue, he asks him a ton of questions about really, is it really true that mitzvah ain't tzrichon kavanah? Tosfot says over here, maybe in the end, Abaye accepted Rova's position that mitzvot ainan tzrichot kavanah. Tosfot back on Lamed Tet, issue of lulav, and how do we make a bracha over the asiyatan? He said there, even according to the one who says mitzvot ain't tzrichot kavanah, that you can have what's called negative kavanah. You can actively say, I do not want to be yotzei the mitzvah, and that works. Even with mitzvah, ain't srichot kavanah. If you have negative kavanah not to be yotzei the mitzvah, that would work. But obviously we're not talking about cases like that here, because it's part of the problem is that he's just engrossed in what he's doing, and therefore he forgets and carries it out to the reshut harabim. Amar Abaye, kishafachol, when he flips it over. So this is one of the other suggestions brought by Tosafot, how to make the bracha over the asiyatan, is if you take it upside down. The only way you yotze the mitzvah is derech delatan, the way that they grow. So if you take them not the way they grow, then you're not yotze the mitzvah. That's what we generally practice in making the bracha, as we turn the etrog upside down. And then we reverse the etrog when we have finished the bracha. Rav Amar, filu teima shelo afachol, achab ma'eskin agon sheyotzeo b'kli. The other option is, instead of saying that he turned them upside down, rather he said he carried it out in some other utensil. And so that he's not actually physically carrying the lulav, so he's not yotze the mitzvah. Problem is that Rava's shita was Rava hu damar kicha yedei dvar achayer shma lekicha. That carrying something through another item is still called lekicha. Over there he talked about akorech sudara yadav, someone who wraps a handkerchief around his hands and then takes the lulav. That lekicha yedei dvar achayer shma lekicha. Tosafot over there explains that it's not literally that he put it wrapped around his hands. In the final answer that Tosafot brings over there, he suggests that he made a handle for the lulav. He extended the lulav and used that handle in order to carry the lulav. So over here, why doesn't Rava say the same thing? If you're carrying it, why isn't this considered to be a handle and should be yotze in the midst of lulav? Or it says, ani milei derech kabot. That's only if you do it in an appropriate manner, about derech bizayon lo. But in something that is in a denigrating manner or not. I don't know if I would take these words literally here, kabot and bizayon. Rashi explains the difference being derech kabot is gulon besudar, that you have a handkerchief wrapped around your hand. Derech bizayon is gulon bikara. You carry it out in a plate or a platter. But I don't think derech bizayon here means in a denigrating way. It just means in a way that's not considered to be holding the item. Tosfot explains over there that that means that he didn't carry it in such a manner that it would have been as if he was machzik the lulav. So for instance, over here, he puts his hand underneath the kli and he carries it. So there, that's not going to be considered as if you are holding the lulav, because it's not like the kli is an extension of the lulav, a handle to the lulav. If you grasp the object, the kli is surrounding the lulav, and you grasp that object, then that would be considered the kicha yidai davar acher for rovo. Over here, the way that he takes it, he puts his hand underneath, he does it in a way that he's not grasping the kli in order to hold the lulav, and therefore it's not classified as a handle. And that's why it would be problematic. So again, kavod and bizayon, I don't know if I would take literally, just a way to say that one is a normal way to take it or to grasp it. The other one is that you're simply transferring it without holding it or carrying it directly. So Amar Rav Huna, Omer Haya Rabbi Yossi. Now he has an additional statement that Rabbi Yossi makes with regards to this issue of Toeh B'Dvar Mitzvah. This isn't the main sugi of Toeh B'Dvar Mitzvah. We did this already together in the Gemara and Shabbat with Toeh B'Dvar Mitzvah, more extensively in Rabbi Lezer de Milo. But here he says that there's another case where Rabbi Yossi would also say Toeh B'Dvar Mitzvah, which is Olah Ta'of. Shinimtzeid Ben Agafayim. They have an Olah Ta'of that's found amongst, Rashi says Agafayim means other Ofot. Other Ofot that were shechted, you find an Of there. Ukasavur chatat of, and he thinks it's a chatat of. The difference between an olat of and a chatat of is that a chatat of is eaten by the Kohanim, and olat of is not eaten by the Kohanim, that goes entirely onto the Mizbeach. So he makes a mistake assuming that this is a chatat of, ve'achla, and he then eats it, patur, even though it was an olat of. Now patur here means from mi'ilah. He would be chayav a korban mi'ilah for misappropriating hekdesh, for eating an olat of, as if it was a chatat of, and therefore it's toeh bidvar mitzvah.
Is it treif melika in terms of that korban?
That melika is good enough for that korban, meaning that even if it's an olat olov, melika here works as a shchita for the olat olov, because you need to be shechti behema to put on the mizbeach. Melika is problematic outside of the mikdash, because melika is not viewed. But in the mikdash, melika functions like shchita, even though it's done ala olat olov. So even though it's Olah Ta'of, that's the Shechita of Olah Ta'of. So yes, you're right. Technically, you didn't Shech the Of, but because it's Malika, and Malika works for Olah Ta'of, then it functions like Shechita. So you don't have a problem of Treifa in terms of this Olah Ta'of, but you do have a problem that it is an Olah Ta'of instead of a Chatat Ta'of, and he ate it. Now why would it become confused? Rashi over here explained, we saw this in Zvachim, also in Masechta Midot, with regards to certain things that are done on the Keren Maravit Dromit. On the southwestern corner functioned for a number of items. There, the Gemara Mizvachim tells us there's three things on the upper part and three things on the lower part. And that is on the Milamata Chatatov, on the ground you do Chatatov because that goes below Chutat Sikra. And then you do the Hagashot of a Mincha. You have to touch a Mincha to the corner of the Mizbeach. And Sheiri Adam. And the remainder of the Dam, those are where the Karnot are to pour the Sheiri Adam, is in that southwestern corner. Umilamala. Up top on that Karen, you do the Nisuch HaMayim, the Nisuch HaYayin, the wine libations, the water libations, Ve'olat Of. Now the Olat Of only ends up there when it's Rabbah Mizrach. There's too many of them that they can't do it on the eastern side, because the main location for Olat Of is on the southeastern corner. So there is where they did the main part of the Olat Of. When they had too many of them, it extends over to the southwestern side. So that's why you might have an issue like this, which is that the Olat Ta'of now is on the southwestern corner, although it's up instead of below. That's why the confusion might have arisen over here, is because they're both being done on this southwestern corner. You have the Chatat Ta'of down to below, and the Olat Ta'of up above. So he got confused, and he went ahead and he ate the bird. So now, Maika Mashmalon, what is the Chiddush here? The Toeh B'Dvar Mitzvah Patur? You're telling me that if you make a mistake while you're engaged in a mitzvah, that you're Patur? What mitzvah is he engaged in here is Achilat Kodashim, ve'achlu otam asher kupar bahem, that those that eat them then cause the kapara to happen. And there we learn that it's a mitzvah to eat kodashim. We've discussed this many times in the past, what exactly that mitzvah is, whether it's an individual mitzvah or if it's a mitzvah on the klal ha'kohanim as a whole. But there is a mitzvah to consume kodashim. So he's engaged in the mitzvah of consuming kodashim, and you tell me that he's patur because he's tab dvar mitzvah? Tainuach. It's the same thing. You don't have to tell me that. We already know that from our Mishnah. So ma'adu teima, what do I have thought? Hotom hu de tab dvar mitzvah patur, hainu de avad mitzvah. The reason that you're patur in our Mishnah is because you actually were toeb dvar mitzvah, and you accomplished the mitzvah. V'hocha de tab dvar mitzvah v'lo avad mitzvah. Over here where you made a mistake and you did no mitzvah in the end, eim alo. And we would say, no, kamash v'lon, the fact is that since you were engaged in something you thought was a mitzvah, that's enough to grant you that dispensation. It's interesting, this answer is somewhat interesting, because what we said before in terms of the lulav, the only way that you can be toeh b'dvar mitzvah is if you didn't take the lulav beforehand. And therefore, in the end, when you take out the lulav, you have to do it in a manner that you're not going to be yotzeh the mitzvah of lulav. You're right, in the end, you will accomplish the mitzvah, but you're not accomplishing the mitzvah while you're engaged in the problematic activity. It's only maybe after the fact that you do that. So I guess that's the distinction you have to draw. Tosafot had an alternative girsa, which I think is interesting here because of that, which is itzvarim de garsi maudu temo hani mila mitzvah de romi ale. That's only true when it's a mitzvah that he is personally obligated in. Ava mitzvah de lo romi ale. I would have thought in a case where there's no personal obligation, aim alo, that maybe not. And that's the distinction that we just spoke about in terms of achilat kodashim. By lulav, you are personally responsible to ensure that you do the mitzvah of lulav. So I would think that when it's your personal mitzvah, that's when you're granted the dispensation of toeb dvar mitzvah. Over here, by achilat kodeshim, we said it may not be this kohen's personal mitzvah. It's the class of kohanim that are obligated to ensure that the kodeshim are consumed. So the fact that he now got involved with the mitzvah, maybe we would say over there that it doesn't give him the dispensation of patur because of toeb dvar mitzvah. Mashmalon, that we do grant him that because he is involved in a mitzvah, but it's not a personal mitzvah. It's a mitzvah that is on the class of kohanim that he stepped forward to accomplish. And that would have been the havamina to say no. The Gemara says, in the end, kamashmalon, that we do grant that dispensation. The Gemara challenges this. Is that really true? B'yosi omer, ashochetet tamid sheinu mivugar kehochato. Someone who checks the tamid before it's had the requisite 4 days of checking beforehand. Bishabbat, he did this on Shabbat. Chayav chatat. Tzarich tamid acher. He has to bring a chatat because he shechted on Shabbat, shelo b'makom mitzvah, and you have to bring a new tamid. Whether or not they find a mum in it, when they check it afterwards, and they do, whether they find a mum or don't find a mum, he's still obligated to bring a new tamid because one of the requirements of a tamid is that it be pre-checked for 4 days. So whether they find a mum, don't find a mum, there's still that prerequisite that you have 4 days of checking. That this animal clearly doesn't have that. So since it doesn't have that, it fails to be a proper korban tamid. So now he's chayav. Because he violated Shabbat, he shechted an animal on Shabbat. And number two is you need another tamid, because this tamid is definitely not a good tamid, even if it doesn't have a mum in it. Now, here you have a case where he's osuk b'mitzvah, and we're not granting him a dispensation. And this is despite the fact that he does not accomplish a mitzvah. We just said before, according to Rabbi Yossi, even if you don't accomplish a mitzvah, if you're engaged in something that is or should have been a mitzvah, then we would grant you that dispensation. Over here, we don't grant him the dispensation. Or according to Tosafot, here it's not a personal obligation for you to bring the tamid. It's an obligation on Klal Yisrael or on the Kohanim, classic Kohanim, to bring the tamid. It's not your personal obligation. And here again, Rabbi Yossi says, no dispensation. Where it says, Amarlei, bar mino da'i, with the exception of this case, da'it ma'alah, because we have on this, we have a qualifier by the Amoraim, which says, Amar of Shmo bar, Chitai, Amar Rav Amnuna, Sabo, Amar Rav Yitzchak Bar Ashian, Amar Rav Huna, Amar Rav Kigon, Sheviu Milishka Sheinu Mevukarim. He brings it from the area that were not checked. So exactly along the lines with what you suggested, Fred, which is here he's making a mistake that he should have known about. He should have been better about, because as Rashi says here, that Toed Dvar Mitzvah is when you are burdened by the thought of doing something and trying to accomplish the mitzvah. So that burdening is what's causing you to make the mistake. Over here, there's no burdening because the group of animals that's found in this lishka have no relevance in terms of bringing them as a korban tamid. You shouldn't be worried about these animals getting on the mizbeach. These animals don't go on the mizbeach because they haven't been properly checked yet. You went to the wrong room. Oh, so now you'll say that. He went to the wrong room because he was trying to do the tamid. Rashi says that's karov the mezid already. The fact that you're going to the wrong room to take out the wrong animal, that already makes it too far-fetched to say that he's toed b'dvar mitzvah. He's too far back from the mitzvah. He's making mistakes that are not even engaging him into the world of mitzvah because he can't accomplish the mitzvah the way he's going. And so therefore we don't grant him the dispensation because it's not as if he's toeb b'dvar mitzvah here. Next Mishnah. Mekabela tisha miyad bina umiyad ba'ala umachzirato l'mayim b'shabbat. A woman can take the lulav from her husband or her son and put it back into the water on Shabbat. Assuming it was in the water on Shabbat, they took it out. And now she can put it back into the water. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, b'Shabbat machzirin. On Shabbat, you can return it to the original water. B'Yom Tov mosifim. On Yom Tov, you can add water in which it's sitting, to the water that in which it's sitting. U'b'Moed machlifim. In Chol HaMoed, you can switch the water. You can change the water out. Rashi says, mitzvah lechav klif. It's a good idea or it's a mitzvah to change it out so that it maintains the freshness of the lulav. You keep them in there so that they don't shrivel up. They don't become dried out. So you keep them in the water in order to protect their freshness. So on Shabbat, we say you can utilize the water which you took them from. You can place it back in there because we're not going to allow you to do a torach, an extra effort, like tkunei mana, in order to keep this intact. So therefore, we're going to say whatever is there, you can utilize, but we can't add to it. Yom Tov, where it's the Ikar Mitzvah of Lulav, we're going to allow you even to add to the water. And then on Mchol HaMoed, we're going to tell you to change the water. So here you have the different gradations of what you can do to the benefit of the lulav, depending on what day it is. Katan ayodeya l'nanea chayav b'lulav. When does a katan become chayav mitzad chinuch in lulav? It's when he knows how to shake the lulav. Where it says, ma'udetema, what would I have thought? Ho v'isha lav bat chiyuvahi, ema lo tekabel. Then maybe I would have thought, since a woman is not obligated in lulav, for her, vis-a-vis the lulav, it's muksa, because she doesn't have the obligation in the mitzvah, and so she doesn't have the obligation in the mitzvah. I would have said it's muksa for emalotit kabel. I would have said that she can't accept it from her husband. And the gemash malon, that since for her husband and for her son, it is a mitzvah, therefore for her as well, she has that status, meaning that the fact that the husband and the son have engagement with this object, and it's not muksa for them, that also makes it not muksa for her. She becomes a partner with them. It's an interesting answer of the Gemara, especially given the fact that women are allowed to be yotze the mitzvah of lulav. They're not obligated in the mitzvah of lulav, but they do have the right to exercise and be yotze the mitzvah, even though they have the dispensation of it, it's a mitzvah d'aseisha, as man grama. So I don't know why that's not enough to extend them the ability to take it, say it's not muksa. Here the Gemara does it only through her husband or through her son's utilization of the lulav that makes it not muksa. She's also granted that same status with regards to the lulav, that it's not considered to be muksa for her. Katan odeya nananeya. A katan who knows how to shake the lulav. Tanabanan. Katan odeya nananeya, chayab lulav. Now, katan who knows how to shake the lulav, chayab lulav, has to take it. That's the mitzvah of chinuch. Now, everyone asks, why is that the case? The mitzvah of lulav is simply to pick up the lulav. Why do you need to know how to shake the lulav in order to be yotze the mitzvah of lulav, or why is that the threshold for a katana yodea than an aneya? So there are different answers given. One answer is given is that, technically, ninua is me'akev. If you don't know how to do it, or you can't do it. Ninua is part of the ikar mitzvah. It's the mitzvah lechatchila. It's not me'akev, the mitzvah. But that assumes that you know how to do the nanuim. That if you know how to shake the lulav, then the yoyotze, the mitzvah, even if you don't shake it. Which is equivalent of what we know, haroi lebila, anything that can be mixed, even though it's not properly mixed, it's considered as if it's mixed. But if you can't mix it physically, then you can't say that it's mixed. So over here too, if you have the ability to shake it, that's enough that you pick it up and you yotze the mitzvah. But if you don't know how to shake it, or if you can't shake it, maybe it wouldn't work. That is a pretty big fetish to say that. The others suggest that the ninua is part of the mitzvah. And when we talk about chinuch, we want a child to do a mitzvah properly. So the whole part of doing the lulav mitzvah of lulav properly is not only just to pick it up, it's to pick it up and to shake it. So if you're going to teach a child to do something, you're going to give them a lulav, you want them to have the ability to do the mitzvah completely and train them to do the mitzvah completely. So when is that point? That point is when they know how to shake the lulav. We discussed in last week's Gemara that Tosafot raises with this, that it's clear here that the katan does not need to know how to say halal in order to be yotze the mitzvah of lulav. Tosafot made a suggestion back there that, well, how do we make the bracha over the asiyatan? Is that you take the lulav, but you're not yotze yet because you still have the nanuim afterwards. But Tosafot says that's not a requirement by the katan. The katan does not need to know how to say halal in order to be yotze the mitzvah of lulav. And so you see from that, that that isn't a requirement, or that's not such a strong part of the mitzvah, because otherwise we would say, for a katan take the lulav, not only does he have to know how to pick up or shake the lulav, he has to know how to say halal in order to do the mitzvah entirely. Here you see the only requirement is he knows how to do the physical action with the lulav. He knows how to pick it up, he knows how to shake it. He doesn't necessarily have to know how to say halal. So the itzateif, if he knows how to wrap himself, chayav b'tzitzit, then he starts wearing tzitzit. L'shmur tefillin, if he knows how to guard his tefillin, I mean, to treat them properly with the proper kedusha, take them off, put them on properly when it's necessary, then aviv lokeach lo tefillin, then his father purchases for him tefillin. You see the difference here, lokeach means that he purchases him tefillin. Tefillin is not something that you just own. Tefillin is something that you buy specifically for the mitzvah. You can own a beged that has four corners on it that has tzitzit. He can borrow his father's lulav. I mean, that there are ways for him to accomplish the other mitzvot without owning them. With regards to tefillin, usually those are something that are personal and something that you have to buy specifically for the mitzvah. So that's why the word lokeach is used, particularly by tefillin. Yodei ledaber, if he knows how to speak, aviv lomdo Torah v'kriyat shema. His father teaches him Torah and kriyat shema. Torah mahi. What does it mean you teach him Torah when he learns how to speak? Am Rav Amnuna, Torah tzivalanu Moshe, Moresha kilat Yaakov. So that's the first thing that you teach the child, Torah tzivalanu Moshe, Moresha kilat Yaakov, which helps to connect the child to the Mesorah, bring him into the line of the Mesorah, and to understand the importance of Torah as a part of our inheritance and part of our heritage as the Jewish people. Kriyat Shema Mahi. You just learn how to speak. What are you teaching him? The whole Kriyat Shema? Answer is Pasuk Rishon. You teach him the first Pasuk of Kriyat Shema. This might have implications as far as what is the mitzvah d'oraita of Kriyat Shema, which is subject to Machloket Rishonim, as to whether the mitzvah d'oraita of Kriyat Shema is simply the first pasuk, and then vahavta, that pasuk as well. That first pasuk and the first paragraph, or that first pasuk and the entire Kriyat Shema? Machloket HaRishonim is how much is considered to be Doraita. You could argue here this is simply an issue of chinuch, so the first pasuk is obviously the most important, and this is what he's capable of, but, or you could argue here that they're focused on the mitzvah Doraita, and the mitzvah Doraita is simply Shema Yisrael. So you could look at it both ways, but pasuk Rishon obviously has more significance than the remainder of Kriyat Shema. Odeya lishmor gufo, ochlim al gufo tarot. Person who knows how to ensure that his body does not become tamei, then you can eat taharot that he comes into contact with his body. Rashi says lishmor gufo mitumat maga masal ve'ohel. He knows how to protect himself from coming into contact with tumah, to lifting tumah, going to an ohel with tumah. He has a sensitivity to tumah that he knows not to become tamei. Lishmor as yadav, even higher levels, he knows how to guard his hands. We know that stam yadayim are shniot l'tumah, that default status of hands are shniot l'tumah because yadav are askaniotim. We assume that hands touch things inadvertently. They're always active and engaged. And so there might be a child who knows how to guard his body, but he's not as conscious about his hands or where his hands go. So once he becomes, reaches that level, then ochlim yadav tarot. Then we even eat tarot that he touches. Because now we assume that he knows to guard his hands and to ensure once he's washed his hands, that he doesn't come into contact with any tumah while he's touching tarot. This has to do with the Gemara and Sota with regards to safek, questions within the realm of tumah. There are the Gemara and Sota we learn. There's a gzerata katuv that is learned out of the din of Sota, which is whenever you have a safek b'shuta yachid in tumah, we assume that it is tamei. And then you have a safek in Rishut Rabim, we assume that it is tahor. It's a mechanism for hachra'ah, decision-making within sfeikot and tumah, that if it's b'shut yachid tamei b'shut rabim, it's tahor. There, one of the qualifications is that the object that is coming into contact and making it tamei, yodeh lishael, you can ask it a question, and it will respond to you. If you can't ask it a question and respond to you, then again, you have this dispensation that the safek is considered to be tahor. So once the child, you can ask him the information, then once he can tell you the information, then he's in that category where the decision will be determined whether it's Rishut Yachid or Rishut Rabim. If you can't ask him to give you the information, then he's Enu Yodeh Lishael. If Enu Yodeh Lishael, then it falls into the category of Safeg She'enu Yodeh Lishael is Tahor, and then it will remain Tahor. That'll be the threshold for where he'll have this move it to the next level of whether we ask him whether it's Rishut Yachid or Rishut Rabim. Alright, Yodeh Lifros Kapav, a Kohen, who's a katan, who knows how to dochen, he knows how to be pores kapayim, chokim lo shuma bebeit agranot. Then he's entitled to get shuma at the threshing floors when they're distributing the shuma, he's entitled to get it. Rashi claims here that that means that he's now of age. Since a katan cannot dochen, only someone who's of age can dochen, and that everybody knows now he's of age, and therefore when he goes out to the goren, when he goes out to the threshing floor to get truma, that's fine because he's of age, and we only grant truma to someone who is of age. That's what Rashi claims. It's 13, according to Rashi, that's the threshold. The threshold is 13, becoming of age. Tosafot says that's not along the lines of everything else here in the Braita that we're quoting. Here we're quoting a Braita that suggests that all these individuals have not reached the age of bar mitzvah. They're below that age, but we're mechanech them because they have a certain quality or they reach the threshold where we can be mechanech them in the mitzvot. And therefore, what we're talking about here is a real katan. Well, if you're talking about a real katan, the Gemara says that a real katan doesn't go up and duchen. So Tosafa clarifies that, and that's the practice today, which is that a katan doesn't go up and duchen by himself. If he's the only one there, he can't go up and duchen. If there's another kohen who's of age, who is duchening, who goes up to be pareis kavayim, then a katan can join him and duchen along with him. So that's what he says, that the case here is if a katan goes up to duchen, then he already has the status of Poreis Kapayim, and you can give him Truma, because we assume then that he's old enough to be Shomer the Truma, to take care of the Truma, and therefore you can grant him Truma. So Tosfot says it's a real Katan that we're speaking about here, whereas Rashi thinks that it's someone who's come of age, and that's what the test here is of Poreis Kapayim, the one who duchens. Yodeh Lishchot, one who knows how to do Shchita, Uchlim Mishchitato. You can eat from Mishchitato. Now, obviously, if he knows how to shech, then you can eat a shechita. So what's the problem here? Zama Ravuna v'ushe gadol omed al gabav. That's only if someone who's of age can supervise him. Because why does he require supervision? Is to ensure that he knows what he's doing. So as Rashi explains here, he's strong enough to do shechita. He has the physical capability to do shechita, but he doesn't know all the halachot of shechita. So how do you make sure that he wasn't dores, or he wasn't shoheh in the shechita? That you need a gadol to check on it to make sure that all the halachot were kept. So if he has the strength to do shechita, you can rely on his shechita as long as he was supervised and to ensure that he did all the hilchot shechita properly. Yochol lechol kezayit dagan. If a child is able to eat a kezayit worth of grain, marchikim mitzoato mimei raglav arba amot. Then, when he defecates or urinates, that has the status of what we call like an adult's waste. An adult's waste, one has to distance themselves four amot away from it if they're going to say kriyat shema, if they're going to daven. I mean, that these are items that are considered to be inappropriate areas for davening or for tefillah, and you'd have to move away. A katan gains that status once they start to eat what we call solid foods, if they eat the kezayit worth of dagan. Amar Rav Chista v'hushi achol achlo b'gdei achilat pras. That's only if he does it within the requisite time, halachic time, to consider a kezayit. If you go beyond that time, the halacha Moshe Misinai says that he didn't eat a kezayit. So if he had to have a kezayit now and have a kezayit much later, even though he ate a full kezayit, it's not classified as eating a kezayit halachically. Halachically, to eat a kezayit has to be g'day achilat pras. The amount of time it takes to eat a half a loaf of bread, that's the loaf of bread that's used to measure by a roof. And we've done that a number of times, explained what the sizes are and what that means. But it has to be within that time frame. Amar Rav Chiya bar de Rav Eva uba gadol. When it comes to a person who is of age, avo pisheni achol lechol b'gdei achilat pras. Then the waste from an individual who is of age, then this requirement falls away. Dichtiv v'yosif dat yosif machov. The one who, the literally reading of the pasuk is one who understands more, has more understanding, has more pain. I mean, that the greater you understand what's going on in the world, then there's more things that are going to be painful or bother you or are going to affect you. The way Rashi writes machov is masriach. The more that you understand, the greater understanding you have, the more that the waste that comes out of you is masriach, goes bad, rots, and causes the smells or problems for you to davening. So in that case, he doesn't have to consume that large amount or that large quantity, so that it's enough that he simply is eating in order to be a problem. Yachol echol kezayit sli. If a child knows how to eat a kezayit worth of roasted meat, shochatim alav et pesach, then he can be counted amongst the people that you are shechting the Pesach for in order to give a kezayit of the Pesach for. Shenemar, ish, lefi achlo tachosu. It says, according to the number of eaters, you can shech. So since he is an eater here, he can now participate in the Korban HaPesach. As Tosafot points out, that some children can eat cooked meat because it's softer, it's easier to deal with. Tzli is a much tougher meat, and a possibility that a child may be able to eat a kezayit worth of meat, but not a kezayit worth of tzli. So tzli is the threshold because Korban Pesach is made in that way. It's prepared by roasting it. So that's why that's the qualification for Korban HaPesach. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, ad sheyachol levarer achila. Qualification is not that he has to be able to eat tzli, but simply he has to know what he's eating. Which is, Kate said, notim lo tzror v'zorko, you hand him a pebble and he throws it. It goes v'noto, you hand him a nut and he eats it. And if he takes a rock or he takes things off the ground, he sticks them in his mouth, then that's not an age where he qualifies. He doesn't have to be able to eat tzli, he just has to know, discern between food and non-food items. Once he discerns that, then he's already qualified to be counted amongst those that are able to eat the Korban HaPesach. Now what David asked is a serious issue that Tosfot raises in the Gemara Pesachim, which is, in order to eat from Kodoshim, you need to be an ish, you need to be someone who is of age. So how come over here we're allowed to give Kodoshim to a katan? Tosfot also says it's a very serious issue. He doesn't know what to do. You have a katan here. You say, oh, mishum chinuch. Chinuch is a din drabonon. And you're talking about a din doraita of kodoshim. You're not allowed to have a child eat kodoshim. So Tosfot over there says something amazing. He says that in order to accomplish the mitzvah of chinuch, we allow you to violate a mitzvah and even a mitzvah doraita. We allow to even feed him kodoshim, which would be an iser doraita for him to really participate or eat in the kodoshim because he's not qualified. Despite that fact, because of chinuch, we allow you to do it. Which is an unbelievable dispensation of how Tosafot deals with the issue of katan in the face of kodoshim. We allow him to participate, even though there might be a problem, midoraita, for him to eat it. Tosafot says, mishum chinuch, we allow that to go through. And it's a very big dispensation that Tosafot is a big chiddush and a big dispensation. We have to deal with this issue, which is that you have a katan now who's participating in a Korban HaPesach where he may not be allowed to eat in kodoshim. All right, so now Adronalach Lulav Agazul. Now we move on to the next parak. Next parak is a parak that deals with the extent of the mitzvot of Sukkah or Sukkot over the period of time of Sukkot. Sukkot is 7 days plus Shmini Atzeret, and there's certain mitzvot that extend over the entire duration, and certain mitzvot that are limited in their duration. So here the Mishnah lays that out for you. Lulav v'arava. Lulav, which is the taking of the lulav, and arava, which is the putting the aravot around the mizbeach, shisha v'shiva. Sometimes that mitzvah is for 6 days, sometimes that is for 7 days. Now it's mutually exclusive. The lulav is for 7 days and the arava is for six. If the arava is for seven and the lulav is for six, we'll see that in the Gemara as to why sometimes it's 6 days, sometimes it is 7 days. Halel v'asimcha, saying halel, and simcha, as Rashi says here, is the chol basar shlamim, the eating of the basar shlamim, because in simcha la basar, so that is shmona. That's for all 8 days, because it includes shmini atzeret. There's halel, and there's korbanot shlamim, korbanot chagiga, on shmini atzeret. Suga, benisuch amayim shiva. Sitting in the sukkah is for all 7 days, irrespective of how Sukkot falls out. And the same is true of Nisuch HaMayim. HaChalil, when it comes to the musical accompaniment, which is the Simchat Beit HaShoeva, the Chalil being just one of the instruments, but that is Chamisha V'Shisha. Sometimes it's 5 days, sometimes it is 6 days. Now the Mishnah is going to go through them one by one. We'll get to Lulav today, and then we'll see the others later on. Lulav Shiva Ketzad. How do you have lulav turn out to be 7 days? We said it's 6 or 7 days. How does it work out to be 7 days? Yom Tov Rishon Shel Chag Shechaliot B'Shabbat. If the first day of Sukkot falls out on Shabbat, lulav shiva, then lulav is all 7 days. That means that when the first day of Sukkot coincides with Shabbat, you take a lulav on Shabbat itself. V'shar Kol HaYamim, if Shabbat falls out on any of the other days, shisha, it's going to be 6 days. The reason for that is that when it's the first day of Yom Tov, that's the din d'oraita of taking lulav. When lulav is d'oraita, we don't say that Shabbat blocks it, and you take the lulav on Shabbat. On the other hand, if it falls out on any other day of Sukkot, when it's only a din d'rabbanan, zecher l'mikdash, then we're going to say Shabbat, we desist from taking the lulav, and you only have a 6 days in which you take the lulav. Arava. Shiva. How do you have a case where Arava is Shiva? Kate said, Yom HaShvi Shel Arava Shechal Yot B'Shabbat. If Hoshana Rabba falls out on Shabbat, then Arava Shiva. Then the Arava goes all 7 days. Hoshana Rabba being the main day of the Arava. And since that's the prime day of the Arava, therefore, if it falls out and coincides with Shabbat, we're not going to suspend doing the Arava on that day. Otherwise, if it falls out on any other days, then we would suspend it. Hoshana Rabba today cannot fall out on Shabbat anymore. That's why we set up the calendar in order not to have this problem. But in their day, obviously, it could fall out. When you're doing an Alpiyariya, it could fall out that way. B'shar Kol HaYamim Shisha, any other day of the week that the seventh day falls out on, then you're going to have a Shabbat in the middle of Sukkot, and that will suspend the mitzvah Rava for that day. Mitzvah Lulav Ketzad. How does one perform the mitzvah Lulav? Yom Tov Rishon Shel Chag Shechaliot B'Shabbat. In an instance when the first day falls out on Shabbat, Molichin Et Lulvehem L'Harabayit. They take their lulav to Harabayit prior to Shabbat. The problem is you can't carry the lulav on Shabbat to get it to the Mikdash because of the problem with Rishuta Rabim. So you have to take it there prior to Shabbat. V'Chazanim Mekabli Mehen. Those that are the Shamashim in the Mikdash take it from them. So Drino Tana Gabe Itzdeba, and they place it on the benches, the gazebo areas that are around the Mikdash, and they set up the lulavim there. And the older individuals get a special location where they put it into one of the chambers. Umlamdim otam lomar. And then they teach the individuals to bring the lulavim there. Whoever takes my lulav tomorrow, it'll be theirs in a gift because of the problem of Lakakram Lachem. It has to be yours on the first day. And we're going to see that there's going to be a big stampede to get lulavim tomorrow. It's not going to be easy to find your lulav. So they just give you whatever lulav. When you get there, they just hand you whatever lulav comes first. So in order to avoid the problem of Lachem, they teach them that once you put it here, you're basically in the pool. And once you're in the pool, it's an exchange. You know, you'll give up your lulav and you'll get someone else's lulav, but everybody grants ownership to whoever it is. The Machar Mashkimim. The next morning they get up early, ubayin, they come to the mikdash, v'chazanim, zorkim otam lifneim, they start distributing them, giving them out, v'im b'chatfin, and they grab whichever one is. Now obviously, makin ish et chaveiro became like a stampede. It was a difficult situation here with so many people trying to get to the lulav at the same time. Kshura beitin shabu l'idei sakana, and when beitin saw that it started to become a dangerous endeavor, hitkinu shei kol echad v'echad notel b'beito. Said, better take the lulav at home, and don't do it inside of the mikdash. Meaning that you still do the mitzvah of lulav, you're just not going to do it in this public forum because it was too difficult to organize the situation in which it would not become problematic with people pushing and trying to get their lulavim. Okay, we'll stop over here.